Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. I have a couple dogs. I have a beagle, then I have a German shepherd mixed with a chow. My beagle is a vacuum, pretty much. My beagle is a Roomba, plugged in all the time. My kitchen is always clean. He licks all the crumbs, everything. Whenever I make a mess in the kitchen, I'll just bring him in. He's a great little dog, though. Before us this morning, we have the example of a Canaanite woman who comes to Jesus for help because her daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. She believes that Jesus is so powerful that if he gives her only crumbs, it will help with her daughter. By the way, my sermon title this morning is Crumbs Are More Than Enough When You Have Jesus. Think of how many times you have gone to Jesus for help, sometimes even pleading with him, Lord, have mercy, as we all have pled with Jesus this morning, begging for forgiveness. Lord, have mercy on us. And what did Jesus give you? Did he give you a few little crumbs? No, he did not. He overwhelmed you. He overshadowed you with his forgiveness and his love. We are here this morning to lead each other to be hungry for Jesus and the blessings we have in him. There is nothing that satisfies you more than the love of Jesus for you and the forgiveness he offers and the peace with God and help with all of our problems and troubles. And Jesus wants to give you so much more than just a few little crumbs, as we all shall see this lesson of the Canaanite women this morning. And God help me so I don't take so much time, because it takes a long time to explain this. And bear with me. If you don't understand anything, we can meet later on. There is no better place to turn in time of need than Jesus. That is where we see the Canaanite woman turning for help when she struggled each day with her daughter who was demon-possessed. The scripture said, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. Jesus left the land of Galilee, which was a region of darkness, for an even greater region of darkness, the area along the Mediterranean Sea coast, where local Canaanites or Palestinians far outnumbered the Jewish people. Remember, Jesus was in Galilee on the other side, you know, and then there was all these Pharisees and there was all these scribes and they were opposing him. And then they have this sort of a darkness in them, a darkness, their spirit was dark. And now he crossed to the other side, and it's even darker. Why? It's because there is Canaanite in there. And then Canaanite, as you know, are a worship idol people. They worship idols, like Baal is one of them. And then Asherah is another god. And Moth, the god of David, is another god of theirs, just to name a few. So it was not by any means a city of light. It was a city of darkness, even darker than what he was. Here in this land of darkness, the light of the gospel was shining in the life of this mother who desperately needed help. She comes to Jesus and addressed him as Lord. She calls him the Son of David. She believed what you believe and I this morning about Jesus, our Savior. He is your God and Lord from all eternity, yet also the Son of Man who came to earth to save each and every one of us. She pleads to Jesus for mercy because she believes with all her heart that he has the power as God and the mercy of God to help her in her need. It never ceases to amaze us, even today, how the message of salvation can reach into the lives of people where we may least expect to find it. It may be that the gospel is reaching more people in China and India, and even in Muslim countries, than we can imagine. Romans 10 says, the sound goes out into all the world. Everybody hears God's word, especially nowadays, when you have a cell phone in your hand, when you have media, when you have interactions. This woman cries to Jesus for help. The Greek word used for cry here is krazo. It is one of those words that sounds like what it means. Think of your dog howling in pain, or your cat crying, or the scream of a child in pain. That's how this woman sounded. This mother is crying out to Jesus in pain because she cannot bear another day of seeing her daughter possessed by an evil spirit. Have you ever found yourself crying out, Lord, have mercy? During a time your child was sick or suffering, someone you love is dying, and you find yourself saying, Lord, have mercy. Nearly 25 years ago, next month, you watch a horror as terrorist attacks our country, and you found yourself praying, Lord, have mercy on these people, the firefighters, the policemen, the people of our country. And you do remember 9/11 very well. There are times when our prayers are very short and very intense. During such times, all we can say is, Lord, have mercy. There is nothing else you can say. You open your life to sin and find yourself so ashamed of you, who you are, and then so afraid of God's wrath and punishment that we deserve. You cry out with David, have mercy on me, a sinner. Because we all beg for God's mercy. As Luther put it, and he said that we're all beggars. We're all beggars under God. It's not just my beagle or your beagle. We as people, God's children, we're beggars. What do we beg for? We beg for mercy. Each Sunday morning we come here, and each and every day, we beg for God's mercy. This woman who turned to Jesus for help is now strengthened in her trust that Jesus will help. Jesus strengthens her faith by putting it to the test. Our loving Lord and Savior, who gave his life to us at the cross, he appears to be cruel and mean to this woman, doesn't he? But he is not. And I will explain. You know what it's like to be ignored, because he ignored her. There seems to be times when Jesus is not giving us an answer to our prayer and almost ignoring us. Listen to how Job prayed during his lowest moments in life. He said, though I cry, I have been wronged, I get no response. Though I call for help, there is no justice. When we call 911, we expect to get a response. We do not expect someone to ignore our phone calls. You might say, I pay my taxes. 911, better answer me. But our God is never far away from us, even though it may appear to us that he's ignoring us. Psalm 145 says, the Lord is near to all who call on him. To all who call on him in truth. How does this woman of great faith handle this test of her faith being ignored? She keeps going after Jesus and continually cries out to him even louder, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. The disciples are so troubled by her and her loud cries for mercy that they tell Jesus, send her away. For she keeps crying after us. They do not ask Jesus to send her away. They tell him to send her away. The disciples were annoyed by the sound of this woman's voice crying out in pain. Jesus loved every effort she made to seek his help. In the Revelation, we hear the persecuted Christian crying to Jesus with a loud voice, saying, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" Jesus was not finished with this woman. He tells his disciples, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Loving Lord and Savior, how could you be so cruel to say this to your disciples and say it loudly that this poor woman can hear what you just said? That's another cruel thing that Jesus says, isn't he? "I came for the house of Israel. I didn't come for you, woman. You're a Canaanite. You're a pagan. You believe in a pagan tribe. How do you feel? How do you see that? You know, you grew up as a Christian. When I came to know Christ, I was the age of 40. And then when you come to know Christ, you hear the gospel, and you come to know him, and you're all gung-ho, right? Jesus, 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 I love you. And then you come across something like this, and you go, "Whoa, hold on a second. Who is this man? Who is he? This is very cruel for him to tell this woman, I came for the Israelites. I didn't came for you." And then at the beginning, he ignored her totally. But again, I will explain, that is not Jesus. That's not who he is. Jesus was not finished with this woman. He's still testing her. Loving Lord and Savior, how could you be so cruel? You say, it sounds as if Jesus cares only about Jewish people and could care less about this Canaanite woman. That would conflict with what Jesus told Nicodemus when he said, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will have life eternal, will never perish." Is Jesus double-sided? Is Jesus contradicting himself? Far be it from him. I will explain. Dear Christians, do you not see how our Lord and Savior is setting a trap for this woman, a wonderful trap of love that would strengthen her faith even more? The woman hears Jesus described going after the lost sheep. Faith takes a hold of the word lost and then says, "Jesus cares about people who are lost. I am lost in my sin," she says. "I know that he must care about me also because I am lost." You see what the Spirit does, what God does? He takes the word of lost sheep and he uses it to minister to this woman. She thinks, "Well, I'm lost too, so I have help. He can help me as well." Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. The Bible has a wonderful way of convincing me that Jesus loves me. As I look at my sin that separates me from God, I wonder how Jesus could ever love or hear my cry for mercy. But then in his word, the Holy Bible, we hear how Jesus says, "The Son of God has come to save that which is lost." Faith joins the woman and takes a hold of the word lost. "If I am lost," she said, "then there is hope for me. Because Jesus said he had come to seek and save the lost. There is hope for me," because in Romans 5, we are told, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. I may not be so wicked to kill 3,000 people by flying airplanes into buildings, but I have not always loved people as I should, nor have you." Words like lost, world, and ungodly assure me there is room in God's mercy for me and for this Canaanite woman. Is Jesus finally finished with strengthening this woman's faith? Or will he make her endure even more? Oh, he will make her endure more. Listen to what comes next. She cries out in agony, "Lord, help me." And Jesus said to her, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." And again, this is me, at the age of 40, after I realized that I am Christian, and let me read the Bible. Then I stumble into something like this. I said, "Dog? Did he just call her a dog? Did he? How could Jesus be so cruel to imply the Jewish people were God's children and she was just a dog?" But her strong faith, given to her by God himself, sees in that word "dog" evidence for God's grace and mercy. Again, she saw mercy in the word "dog." She saw God's grace in the word "dog." The word used here for "dog" does not mean the kind of dirty dog that runs wild in the streets at night and then feeds on the garbage. No. Jesus is using a word for "dog" that means a pet dog, like my beagle, who sits at your lap. Here is a dog that likes to sit on your lap and even look up at you for some reward from your hand. The woman knows what people do with their dogs. If they don't have much food, they will feed the children first. And maybe there will be a few crumbs that fall to the ground that the poor, hungry little pet can find for itself, like my Roomba beagle. So she said to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall off from their master's table." Now you understand. Jesus is not cruel, not at all. He's a loving God. And the Holy Spirit can take words and then use them to realize that God is a just God. God is a loving God. Now, do your eyes of faith see what this woman saw in Jesus? Even if he were to only give her a few crumbs of mercy, that would be more than enough to heal her daughter. Because those crumbs were from the hand of God himself and has such power. She knows and believes with all her heart, just as you do this morning, that with the Lord there is not just a few crumbs of mercy, not just a few loaves of mercy, but a truckload of mercy that is beyond comprehension. We cannot comprehend. We're sinful people. We're sinners. We deserve hell. But God has given us his love. It's not just crumbs, but it's a fountain of love that overshadows us. Jesus sees the great faith in this woman, and he says to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." What do your eyes see as you look at a cross? You see a man suffering for 6 hours. You see blood pouring from his body. You see a head covered with a crown of thorns. But you also see Jesus, God's Son, and you know the suffering that took place was done by God himself to atone for every sin that we have ever committed. Our ordinary eyes see a crumb. Faith sees a cross and so much more. You have so much more than just a few crumbs of mercy when you have Jesus. That is why we pray so fervently, "Lord, have mercy on us." Amen. Now may the grace of the Father, the love of the Son, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.